Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
That is Sugar in the Tank by Memphis State of Julian Baker and a singer named Torres. A little 2025 music to get us going this morning.
Are you on Instagram, right, Chris? Are you on Instagram?
I am on Instagram. I'm not, you know, I post like once a month, but I am on Instagram. Yep.
Right. I don't know how to do Instagram. I post occasionally. I'm technically on it. And, but she asked us to share this or that thing that the Daily Memphian is doing. Maybe it's because 901 Day is coming, or I forgot the occasion. And it's pretty short. And it's four. It's how many, Jeffrey, you can preside. We can all answer these Memphis this or that. How many categories do we have?
So according to the, I've only seen the ones on Facebook, so I don't know if the Instagrams are different. I have four listed from the Facebook.
Yeah, well, let's and we'll encourage people if they want to get in on the this and that's to pop over to the Instagram page for the Daily Memphian vote as well. All right, Jeffrey, what's the one first this or that?
First this or that would be Beale Street or the Overton Shell.
Chris,
I'm an Overton Shell guy. I was never really a Beale Street guy in terms of wanting to go out and hang out at the bars on Beale, no offense to it. But like when my kids were young, I actually lived in the neighborhood. We were at the Shell all the time. We were regulars at the Shell. But that's more my vibe anyway.
So my problem is I don't think these are comparable.
I'm with you. They're not really comparable. Well, what would be comparable? What would, if you were finding a match?
You could say Beale Street or South Main.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. Or Beale Street or Overton like Square.
Right. A South Main trolley night is more my vibe than Beale Street, you know?
Yeah.
Places to drink.
I don't necessarily think of Overton Shell as a place to drink. Like, I think of it as a music venue.
No, Beale Street. I think of Beale Street as a place to – Beale Street, absolutely. You would match it up with a place to drink, whereas the Overton Shell, you might match it up with, I don't know, like one of the, you know, the Botanic
Garden. The Orpheum, or, you know, like whatever. Yeah, if you want to keep an outdoor venue, like, yeah, sure.
Botanic Garden.
A nice outdoor venue at GPAC now. That's sort of a similar kind of thing.
Have you been to that, Chris? Have you been to the GPAC thing?
I have, only once, but I thought it was quite nice. And so if I lived in that area and there was stuff I wanted to see, I think it'd be a great place to go do stuff.
All right. So, Jeffrey, what are you voting here? Because I have some more questions about that. But what are you voting here?
The problem is this is also age specific. Right now, I'm not in a go to Beale Street, so I'd go Overton Shell.
Also,
you're married with a young child. You are certainly in the, like, bring your lawn chairs to the Shell part of life.
Well, and 100%. On top of that, I found this out a couple weeks ago. There's a museum in the back of the Shell. I cannot recommend that experience enough. Like, we did that, a couple of buddies and I did that last, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. That was a delightful Memphis music experience.
Chris and I got an email about this, actually. Jeffrey, how did you happen to how did you happen to go on this tour? And what is there's a museum embedded literally physically in the back of the Shell?
Correct. So like if you look at the stage, it's in the back doors of it. So one of my buddies is friends with one of the fundraisers for the Shell, and because, you know, when they put on the free concert series, well, it's not free to them. It's about $18,000, and so we all like donated a bottle of bourbon so that they could auction it off to try and hopefully pay for one of the concerts. And so they took us around and gave us the whole experience.
And what's there?
So it's the quickest museum you could possibly have. The whole tour probably takes like 30, 45 minutes, but it it's a couple of like dressing rooms that are that have unbelievable like photos and like the history of the shell, and like they walk you through that and take you basically all through the Memphis music scene, like pre-Elvis to even, you know, current day.
Have you seen it, Chris? Have you been to this museum?
I've been backstage at the show. I think maybe it's possible that they've enhanced it since I was there, because it was a long time ago for me. So I've not done that recently, no.
I got you. Okay. While I'm on this topic, by the way, there is this question, Chris, of whether Beale Street should be something other than what it is. And the Grizzlies are invested in that question, right? They want it to be something that other than what it is. And it's interesting because, you know, once upon a time, Beale Street was seen as an asset to FedEx Forum. Oh, look at this. When the SEC basketball tournaments were there, the Tyson Lewis fight was there. And that, like in the early days, you're like, oh, this is great. You can go straight from drinking on Beale to heading in. And now it is not. It's probably too big a topic to get into the politics of what reimagining Beale Street would be like. But do you? I do,
and you're right. It's too big of a topic for right now. But I'll to put a pin in it as a starting point, I'll say that I think it's there may be people who own businesses on Beale, whatever, who disagree with me. But from my perspective, and I think I'm not trying to speak for the Grizzlies, but I'm going to guess from their perspective, I think it's pretty clear Beale Street has grown stagnant and is ripe for a rethink. Now, where that goes is a different, more complicated question, but I think it's absolutely – Beale Street absolutely needs a close look and to be upgraded or refurbished or reoriented or something. It needs a refresh. I would start there. I think it absolutely needs a refresh.
All right. We're all three of us Overton Shell on that this or that. Jeffrey, what's the second one?
Gibson's or Muddy's?
Chris?
I mean, you truly there are no losers in this situation. So I'm a proponent of both, but I'm going to go Muddy's just because of the variety of different things you can get at Muddy's, including some savory stuff. But, you know, it's not just a cupcake place. I took a biscuit making class there. You also, you know, get great pies and all kinds of great stuff at Muddy's. I like the vibe in Muddy's. I think people don't think of it as much as a public place since they've gone over to Broad. Plus, you know, I'm a Midtown kind of guy, and so I'm gonna and that's kind of Midtown, close enough. So I'm gonna throw my lot in with Muddy's.
It was known as a cupcake place, right? And then is it mostly whole? I mean, do they mostly not? I presume they mostly do not sell out of that Broad Avenue store now, and instead they distribute and sell out of markets and stuff? How has it changed in that regard, Chris?
It was never intended to be a cupcake place. It's just people like it happened to open at a time where cupcakes were trendy, and their cupcakes are great, and so people love their cupcakes. But like if you talk to Kat Gordon, who's, you know, the woman behind Muddy's, I mean, she likes the pies. That's her favorite thing. I wrote a big piece about them about 3 years ago. I had a really interesting conversation with her. You can find it in Daily Memphian about her decision to sort of, because she had people coming at her wanting to, like, you know, franchise and expand, and Muddy's could have been like a national brand. It was getting all this national attention and, you know, New York Times, whatever's writing about it. And she went the opposite way, and she scaled it back, and it was about quality of life, you know, for her. And she wanted to be in the kitchen. So they have this kitchen there where they do cooking classes and they do other stuff there. And you can still go. I mean, it's very much a public thing. You go, but it's not as much seating maybe as there used to be at some of the other locations. I think they mostly sell from the shop. I don't really know like other places in town that carry like Muddy's cupcakes or whatever. Okay. But I think it's much more to go. Like you place an order, you get stuff. But you can, you know, there are a few tables there. But if people haven't been down there, go down to Muddy's on Broad Avenue. Anyway, that's my vote.
I'll absolutely, I've been to Muddy's, although I think only the one on Broad once. I mean, Gibson's when I was raising my boys, was a significant part of my, you know, we would go to Gibson's. I'd take the three boys to Gibson's and we would go to Gibson's.
Yeah. For us, it was very much Muddy's in the same way, but the East Memphis location. We used to go there all the time with our kids.
So, yeah. So I'd have to vote Gibson's. And I continue to say that the apple fritter from Gibson's is one of, I believe, my signature food items. If I had to, if Mount Rushmore's people did anymore, I had a Mount Rushmore of Memphis food items, I would put the apple fritter from Gibson's on that Mount Rushmore. Jeffrey, your thoughts on this, this or that?
Admittedly, I'm dumb. And so to me, this came down to donuts or cupcakes, and Gibson's is part of my childhood, and the Gibson's donut's my favorite donut. As Chris was telling that story, I like Muddy Story a lot, and that seems like something I'd want to support, but I'm just going to be stupid. Gibson's is my childhood.
No loser in this one. All right.
No losers.
Number three, Jeffrey.
So this one obviously is going to be a little bit self-serving, but I actually think this is interesting. Push notifications or breaking news emails?
What's the difference? What's a push notification?
To me, it shows up on your phone. It's like an alert or
like,
whatever.
Yeah, you know, like when a score update, like when it says Josh Allen's like the
or a breaking news email.
Yeah,
but okay.
So this is a question that sort of implies another question, which is that do you want to receive these things or avoid these things?
Correct.
If I'm wanting to receive these things, then it's the push notification. Because if it's the email, it may be 24 hours before I see it. I don't. There's a song by this Swedish singer Robin called like My Email Is Killing Me or whatever. And my email killed me a long time ago. And so I just can't. I get too many emails because I get all these publicity blasts still from all kinds of different, whether it's film or music or I can't. If you emailing me, like I may see it 3 days later. I might not even see it at all if it's one email surrounded by 50 other junk things. It's a mess. So give me the push notification.
So who do you, I don't even. Of course, I'm just a victim. I never consciously even sign up for anything. I go through life and stuff gets thrown at me and somehow things end up on my phone. Do you, Chris, do you consciously sign up to get certain push notifications?
Well, I get notifications from the Daily Memphian. I don't remember like how I consciously signed up or didn't sign up, or maybe I got signed up. I don't know. But when they Daily Memphian sends out the pushes, I get those on straight to my phone. There are a few like the NBA, like the old Woj bomb stuff. There are a few NBA news breakers that on social media I have set to notify me because if a trade happens or whatever, you know. And that might be it. Maybe there's some other stuff that I just ignore. It pops up like Slack, you know, our Slack channel at work. Some of that stuff will pop up on my phone without me going to Slack to look at Slack. So those are the main ones I can think of.
Jeffrey, do you have a vote on this?
Yeah, this is easy for me. Breaking news emails. To Chris's point, I'm now getting news notifications, and I have no idea how I got signed up for them. And I'm someone that my phone is constantly going off. You know, I'm coordinating with a lot of people, so like my phone is buzzing all the time. And when I get a push notification, it just like it's like I didn't need to know this. I feel like I have a little bit more control when it's a breaking news email.
Chris, if something happens in the world, big in the world, how are you most apt to hear about it?
I look at social media enough that I'll see it there probably. Unless if it's a Daily Memphian, if it's an Memphis thing, I'll get the Daily Memphian push notification. But if it's otherwise, you know, I'll probably see it first on social media. I don't have like notifications set up for like New York Times or CNN or any of that. No.
I get New York Times push notifications, I guess. That's probably how I'd see it. I don't have any opinion on this. I didn't even know the distinction. And then we have four, so we'll go to our fourth, Jeffrey. What's four?
Central Barbecue versus Cozy Corner.
Chris?
You know, my standard like response to Memphis barbecue questions is like it depends on what you want, right?
Yeah.
To me, it's not about one place being better than another place. It's about different things. Different places excel at different things, or maybe you like certain versions of things. So, you know, it depends on sort of what I want. I think there's a little bit more variety on the menu at Central, but for me, it's Cozy Corner, and Cozy Corner is like in my sort of I don't have a Mount Rushmore. I have a Holy Trinity, and for me, it's Cozy Corner Barbecue Shop in Paines. Those are like my three go-to places. And so I'll say Cozy Corner, but like you know, if I want wings, and the Coach Corner has good wings. I really like the wings at Central. You know, if I want ribs, actually, I don't know. I'm fine with either one, but Cozy Corner, you know, if the ship is sinking, I have to throw things overboard or keep things on, like I'm keeping Cozy Corner.
It's interesting that, of course, this is the this or that. There's only two things in a this or that. There's a million others right. You could have included here, Jeffrey. You would right. have put the Rendezvous in here as opposed to either of these. Between these two, Jeffrey, which would you put?
So I prefer the food at Cozy Corner to the food at Central, but I go to Central more. So I think I would save Cozy Corner, but I openly acknowledge I could be a hypocrite.
Well, there is that. I mean, Central has multiple locations all over the city, yeah. and you know,
well, there's like one that's not even a mile from my house. So,
I probably ate at Central more frequently when I was living in Memphis, but now I eat at Cozy Corner more because that's one of the places that I do make a point to go to when I'm back.
And then, in terms of the Holy Trinity, Chris, it's the from Payne's. It's the sandwich. From the barbecue
or the smoked sausage. If you want to be really indulgent, if you want to really feel bad about yourself when you're done, but love yourself while you're eating, like you got to get the smoked sausage at Payne's.
The pork sausage. Okay. From the barbecue shop.
The smoked sausage. Yeah.
The smoked sausage. Is it the barbecue spaghetti at the barbecue shop?
No. Well, that's another, like, you know, feel good while you're eating and feel bad maybe by the end of it. No, I my standard at the barbecue shop is just the chopped sandwich plate on toast. Fries and beans, keep it simple.
And then the Cozy Corner is?
Two ribs, two wings, Memphis on a plate.
Two ribs, two wings. I'll say Central just because I go there for the reasons of convenience. Like, I go there a lot more than I go to Cozy Corner. And so, all right. Well, those are fun. Good job, Daily Memphian, getting us through the this or that. You can weigh in yourself. I don't know if there's going to be more. But you can pop on over to the Daily Memphian and do that. Chris, we appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. We got to take a break. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman. He's the author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand. Joins me from Washington, D.C.
I'm begging you, take a breath.
Continues to be a hellhole, but is fortunately getting cleaned up. And he joins us on National Dog Day, which he has celebrated by, Jeffrey, I think you have to admit, this is a bold and an appropriate choice, by getting a puppy.
There you go.
Charles, congratulations.
I didn't know it was National Dog Day, but I got to say, on Tuesday, August 26th, it's kind of been National Dog Day here for the last 3 or 4 days. We did get a puppy.
And like people do now, and your kids bullied you into this once upon a time, and now you're fully on board. You got a rescue puppy from the South, by the way. From the South. They pick them up down here where we got lots of too many dogs, let's be honest, and we ship them up north where they don't have enough dogs, and then you get a I guess her name is Juno. Right?
Her name, it's a very interesting situation. Her name was Isaac when we picked her out. She was identified as female for the non-binary, whatever they are, Gen Zers. That was really exciting. But they just misnamed and they weren't confused about her gender, but they got the gender and the name wrong. She comes from a shelter in Mississippi.
There you go.
And yes, our kids, we had four dogs from Labrador breeders, and this is our second dog from a rescue. This could not have been a more wonderful, smooth, gracious process. There's a whole world of people rescuing dogs, moving them to places where they can be adopted. We met the foster family. They foster three or four dogs a year. What a thing to do, to take in a tiny little puppy that's scared and doesn't know which end is up, take care of it for a couple of weeks, and then having, you know, had the wonderful, I mean, there is nothing like a puppy. There is absolutely nothing in the world like a puppy.
Do you mean that in a good way or in a bad way?
I mean it only in a good way. They're so adorable. They're just like little kids. We renamed Isaac Juno. Speaking of bullying by the children, oh my God, I guess text messaging was invented to pick the names of dogs and children. I routinely had to say, you can pick the names of your children, but in the end, mommy and I will pick the name of this dog. They wanted us to name the dog, oh my God.
Machiavelli.
They wanted us to name the dog after Machiavelli. And then when we gently objected to naming a puppy after a theorist of political hardball, I got a long lecture by text about how Machiavelli's brilliant strategies have been revised historically, and everybody believes she was a liberal and not a brutal. Anyway,
let me one more
so
thing about
curious.
This.
She's into everything. What? Just a wonderful. She's a treat.
Okay, I want one last Go thing. What's interesting to me is that you grew up in a dog-free household, a totally dog-free
100%.
Household.
I grew up with literally sheep
living in my basement, a raccoon on my pillow, like a monkey swinging through the bathroom on the curtains. You grew up without a dog, but
ladies and gentlemen, that's not a metaphor. He really did have
all those things are true. Grew up without a dog. So how? And now you are a total convert. Scott Morris, when he gave one of his commencements. Speeches that I heard, advice to the graduates, one of them was get a dog. And you would co-sign that.
I mean, I think pets fall into a category where you don't give advice. It's like children. If you want to have children, have children. If you dogs are my brother and his wife, Matt and Robin, both their children loved our dogs. They always wanted dogs. They couldn't believe that we had two dogs and they had no dogs. My sister-in-law, Robin, just looked around and said, if we get a dog, I'm taking care of the dog and I don't have time to take care of the dog. I got a lot of other things going on. Literally, both of their children have established themselves, gotten married, and gotten settled in homes in the last year, and they both have dogs. as soon as they had to see the neighbor,
right.
They got the dog.
Maybe but dogs, if you decide not to have children, people judge you for it. And if you decide not to have a dog, people think you're somehow, you're not. You just make a different choice because they are.
Dogs, I mean, you and I.
Who likes cleaning up poop off the floor? You know, there are fur everywhere.
At this stage, it's not even that. The dogs really do limit our ability to travel at will. Because you need a good dog sitter. That itself costs money. So we're working on that. Now, of course, we have three dogs. That's kind of a rarefied. Two dogs is manageable. Three dogs is crazy. We have a very old dog, and we wanted to make sure that our middle dog wasn't bereft.
Didn't grieve, had company all along.
Right. Here's the thing about puppies. Puppies are unlimited joy. They are just a little packet of joy racing around. They're excited about everything. And whether you're 27 or 64, it just makes you smile. It's nice to be reminded what unlimited joy looks like. So there you go. Anyway, happy.
All right, moving along. You talked about Reese's last week, and you want
today,
to make a
hang
correction.
Hang on before you get to that. Oh, it's also Pumpkin Spice Day. It's the day in which Starbucks starts selling its pumpkin spice line of products. Have you ever had a pumpkin
Never
spice
had one.
Flavored?
Never had
Neither
one.
Have no. I have no idea. I don't know what the I don't I'm actually much more familiar with the mockery of pumpkin spice than the enthusiasm for it, but it must really be a key. So anyway, if you've lost track but you're a fan, today's the day. Go ahead. I'm going to turn control of the segment back over to you.
For about a second. Reese's, you had a correction you wanted to make on Reese's?
This is the second error in like 5 weeks. We're really falling by the way. So I said without checking in passing that Reese's was sold back to Hershey after Mr. Reese died for $8 million, and I misstated, and I need to correct that. In fact, there was a technically a merger between Reese's and Hershey. Hershey really took over Reese's, and Mr. and Mrs. Reese had 16 children. 13 survived to adulthood. They got what was then 666,000 shares in Hershey, valued today at $4.4 billion. So they got more than $8 million. They really got 1,000 times more than
was it
eight?
Was it $8 million at the time?
No. I don't know where I got the $8 million.
You're just slipping.
I am clearly slipping. I'm going to blame the puppy.
We did have some news last night, and I know there's nothing that
really
that
important.
Our sports talk listeners like to hear more about than the Federal Reserve. And normally we talk about Jay Powell. We talk about interest rates,
which really are relevant.
I thought you said you were turning control of the show back to me.
Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So normally you talk about Jay Powell. Now, Donald Trump has fired Lisa Cook. Who is Lisa Cook and why does this matter?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Wow, this is really crazy. This is really crazy. The Federal Reserve is the central bank of the United States, and they help manage the economy. And they are designed specifically to be independent from Congress. They manage interest rates in the money supply. Congress manages spending and independent from the president. The president appoints the chairman of the Federal Reserve, the six members of the Board of Governors, and then there are presidents of the regional banks. There's a Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis and a Federal Reserve Bank of New York and a Federal Reserve Bank of and those people all together set interest rates. The six members of the board, and then I believe there are six of the bank presidents at a time rotate on to vote. Lisa Cook is a member of the Board of Governors. And before we talk about what she's alleged to have done, distinguished economist, the first woman of color in 111 years to ever be on the Board of Governors, appointed by President Biden. Reminder that Jay Powell, with whom Trump is so furious, I don't know how he made it on the Federal Reserve as chairman, why he was appointed by Donald Trump. So it doesn't really matter who appointed you. Donald Trump can be angry with you anyway. And there's nothing about Lisa Cook that attracted Donald Trump's attention in particular. She's one of six. Those people are generally anonymous. Lisa Cook spent her entire life as an economist. She went to Spelman College. She was a Marshall Scholar. So then she went to Oxford in England, came back and got her PhD in economics at Berkeley, professor at Harvard, professor at Michigan State, and then appointed to the Federal Reserve. Donald Trump wants the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. That's what he wants them to do. If the Federal Reserve lowers interest rates, that will juice the economy because there'll be more money for spending on things besides interest on your loans. Even a company like Walmart or a company like Google has credit lines, and they have interest costs that have gone up dramatically. The problem with the reason the Federal Reserve is not reducing interest rates is twofold. The economy is pretty solid, and and inflation is not back to 2%. It's running a little above 2%. If you lower interest rates, you increase economic activity, but you also increase inflation. We already have two things going on with the interest rates just where they are. Tariffs increase the cost of everything, so they are inflationary by definition. Tariffs also impose new costs on companies, so they slow the economy. So Donald Trump wants the Federal Reserve to undo the things that he himself is doing voluntarily. The tariffs, whatever purpose the tariff serves.
Actually, he wants the interest rates down. So then what? They've said they're probably going to lower the interest rates at their next meeting.
And on literally on Friday, Jay Powell had a big speech. Said probably we will start lowering interest rates in September because we're a little concerned about the job market. In the meantime, someone in the administration discovered that Lisa Cook had gotten two mortgages in the space of the same month, one on a home in Michigan and one on a condo in Atlanta, and declared both of them her primary residence. You have to You know this from having purchased a home occasionally yourself. You literally have to say whether you're getting this mortgage on a primary residence or a vacation or rental home. Well, in most cases, not every case, but in most cases, you can't have two primary residences. And the only point of declaring that it's a primary residence is that you get a better interest rate and you get slightly better loan terms, maybe lower fees, because the banks are guessing that if something's your primary residence, you're more likely to pay the mortgage than if something's a vacation home or a rental property. If you get in trouble, you're going to keep your house. So it's illegal on financial documents to say your income is $100,000 if your income is $75,000. And it's illegal or a violation of banking rules to say that you have two primary residences, to declare two things primary residences which aren't. This is an allegation. It's an allegation about something that was on a form, and it's totally personal. It has nothing to do with the Federal Reserve, and it happened a year before she joined the Federal Reserve. Last night, Donald Trump fired her. He didn't fire her because she's upset about what she put on forms. Mind you, the president has been convicted of financial fraud involving real estate transactions himself, and he's the president of the United States. He fired her because he wants to replace her with someone who will lower interest rates. But it's not clear that he has the power to fire her. The law creating the Federal Reserve says the president can fire members of the Federal Reserve, but only, quote unquote, these are the words, for cause. F-O-R space C-A-U-S-E. And generally, the Supreme Court has regarded for cause as some failure in office itself. So some failure to perform your office, or some fraud or mismanagement that you committed while in the office that you're being fired from. This has nothing to do with that. It's very, very complicated.
So we presume that she has already said she's going to fight it, and it may go to the Supreme Court, and we'll see what happens. That's right.
And there's been an interesting discussion, wonderful discussion on CNBC this morning. What a great question for a reporter named Andrew Ross Sorkin. He asked a former deputy chairman of the Federal Reserve, who was on this morning, whether who has control of Lisa Cook's building ID at the Federal Reserve and her paycheck. Does Donald Trump control it? Does Jay Powell control it? Does HR control it? Like, if someone wants to say you can't come in the building,
you're fired. And who's going to,
actually be? It's clearly not Donald Trump, because the Federal Reserve is independent. If it's Jay Powell and he refuses to do the president's bidding, could the president turn around and fire him?
Fire him
as well,
for Mel. Here's the problem. And the reason this matters is faith in the U.S. financial system. That's the reason it matters. I mean, broadly speaking, isn't it?
Here's why it matters. Exactly. Because the whole point of an independent Federal Reserve is that the president of the United States has no more influence on whether the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, lowers interest rates, or leaves them where they are at a given moment than anybody else, than the governor of Oklahoma or than Jeff Calkins. You get to make your case. That's what you want. The reason you have an independent bank, Donald Trump wants to lower interest rates. You know what that might do? It might unleash a decade of inflation. We just got inflation back under control. Presidents don't care about what happens after they're not in office anymore. And what Donald Trump wants is lower interest rates now, so he can say, there you go, I made the ability to buy a home less costly. Donald Trump could do a lot of other things, for instance, to make homes more accessible. This is a convenient one. So he is trying to grab control of a completely independent agency, and that agency is independent for a reason. And if you take a step all the way back, the United States relies on the world to buy its debt. We sell U.S. bonds. Every time we have $1,000 in deficit spending, somebody buys a bond for $1,000 and gives us the money. They literally give us the money, and we promise to pay them back. And we're running, you know, deficits that are hundreds of billions of dollars. And the reason people buy those bonds is because they know that the United States of America is literally the best bill payer in the world. We never say we don't have the money. And this is a way of destroying that credibility, because if inflation gets out of control and you bought $1 million worth of bonds, you don't get paid back $1 million. You get paid back $1 million less the inflation. And so
We'll see what happens. I want to switch to something truly serious, and that is the fate of Krispy Kreme donuts. I read a piece somewhere that Krispy Kreme is
the New York Times.
Crushed.
The New York Times dug deep on Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. What? And of course, in Memphis,
do
we don't need Krispy Kremes. We just go. How do I feel about Krispy Kreme?
Krispy Kreme donuts.
In Memphis, first of all, we just go to Gibson's Donuts or any of your other favorite donut shop, but the legendary one is Gibson's.
Right.
And let me talk, for God's sakes, man. This is on National Dog Day. I'm scolding now. I'm scolding. I was about to tell you how I feel. Feel about Krispy Kreme donuts, and now I'm trying to tell you how I feel about Krispy Kreme donuts. Okay.
Angry.
Well, I can't get a word in edgewise. Krispy Kreme donuts, it strikes me. If you go to a Krispy Kreme donut shop and get the hot Krispy Kreme donut coming off the conveyor belt, that is a delight. But mostly in Memphis, it seems to me that we get Krispy Kreme donuts in boxes in a convenience store that aren't particularly hot, fresh, or delicious. What's your view of Krispy Kreme donuts?
Well, that's exactly it. You have three Krispy Kreme locations in Tennessee, but they're in Nashville and then one all the way east in Pigeon Forge. Krispy Kreme is exactly what you said. It's not McDonald's. It's not Burger King. It's not Dunkin' Donuts. You want to stand in the Krispy Kreme, watch the donuts coming off the conveyor belt, getting glazed under a waterfall of glaze, and buy a dozen right there, and the box is still warm. Maybe you buy a Krispy Kreme donut that's an hour or two old. Even then, you might pop it in the microwave literally 5 seconds, 6 seconds. We lived in Raleigh next to the Krispy Kreme donuts number three or number four in the world, literally three blocks. And so we could walk and take out, you could smell the donuts from our porch. Krispy Kreme has gone public twice, both of which have been sort of semi-disasters, with business people thinking that the key to Krispy Kreme is to sell them in Walmart, to sell them in every convenience store on I-40 or I-95. And I'm with you. I don't think buying Krispy Kreme donuts as you can in 7-Eleven or Walmart. The New York Times story opens with this whole journey, a factory in New York City making Krispy Kreme donuts that are then delivered 12 hours later in a big hurry to Walmarts and Costcos in the New York area. A Krispy Kreme donut that doesn't even arrive in the store to be sold until 12 hours after it was made is by definition stale. It's an old Krispy Kreme donut. And so it's really interesting that people have the wrong, business people really have the wrong take on Krispy Kreme donuts. And it went public during the dot-com boom in 2000 and then flamed out. It went public in 2021 at $19 a share. IPO is, of course, one of our favorite topics on the show. It's now $3.60 a share. It has never been $19 since the day it went public. So if you bought, you know, $1,000 worth of stock on the day you could in 2021, you've lost money. So they're talking about the exciting prospect of putting donuts in Walmart. A couple years ago, Krispy Kreme had a huge effort to put donuts in McDonald's stores for breakfast. And that actually seemed kind of cool. You make them at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. Krispy Kreme makes a lot of donuts then, and you distribute them to McDonald's so that when people get there and get their great McDonald's coffee, they could have a Krispy Kreme donut. And they could not master the logistics of making it happen. And so anyway, the Krispy Kreme donut you buy in Walmart in a box off the shelf is it just has the Krispy Kreme label on it. It's not really a Krispy Kreme donut.
We're going to have to go, but give me a quick DC restaurant update. How's what's happening with DC restaurants?
Yeah, it's restaurant week in DC. Lots of cities have restaurant week. I think you said Memphis does, where a bunch of restaurants participate. They have specials. They really want you to come out and discover the new restaurants in the city in that week. They all band together. Reservations are down 24% this year from last year. People in DC actually are not excited about Humvees and the National Guard, 800 National Guard troops with guns. When you walk around your city and there's National Guardsmen on the corners, that doesn't make you feel safe. It makes you feel occupied. It makes you feel the opposite of safe. So DC residents not really appreciating that. Restaurant Week is so important to the restaurants in the towns where they do it. DC has added a week. The restaurants have added a week to Restaurant Week. If you didn't get to go to Restaurant Week this week, you can go next week. So there you go.
Charles, thank you very much. We got to get out of here. Have a good day. Good luck with the puppy, Juno. And we'll talk to you again next week. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's next. Coming up on Jason and John, Jessica Benson joins their program today. Tim Murray will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.